Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And thank you once again for joining us, Paige Ulrey with the King County Prosecutor's Office. And you're the Senior Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Elder Abuse. And what a fascinating topic.
I'm one of two people in our office, and we're both overwhelmed with cases.
I got to imagine, and especially as our population is aging here, that there's going to be more and more of that. You know, during the break, you had mentioned to me that one of the number one sort of root causes of elder abuse is, you mentioned gambling.
Yeah, there's a huge connection that we found between perpetrators of elder financial exploitation and gambling. So we find that out because what we do in a typical investigation is we get the bank records not only of the victim, but also of the suspect.
Uh-huh.
And when we get the suspect's bank records, we see numerous withdrawals at ATMs at casinos or other spending at casinos. And it's usually the victim's money that's going to feed that gambling addiction.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is this whole opioid situation having an impact as well?
We're seeing some of those cases as well. Also, people with shopping addictions and other drug addictions, too.
Addiction in general.
Yes.
People who can't control themselves.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So they're out of money now. They're going for these things.
Right. And so older people tend to be, you know, especially if they're isolated and they don't have anyone else to turn to, they can be very appealing to the criminal mind.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Boy.
So, well, but... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as you mentioned, mind, you know, there's all these dementia situations that people are taking advantage of.
Yeah, it's stunning to find out how many older people, especially about 85 and over, who have some degree of dementia. Mm-hmm. It's very often undiagnosed. And dementia, you know, we're used to thinking of dementia as affecting your memory and your ability to recall things.
Right.
But it also affects your judgment. And so a lot of people with dementia may still have their memory fairly intact and be able to speak fairly well and have a carry on a conversation with you, but their judgment may be so impaired that they can no longer make good decisions for themselves. And one thing that tends to go early on with dementia is financial capacity. So people's abilities to understand, you know, what's the impact of this signature that I'm putting onto this piece of paper or the sale of this house on my overall financial situation, how is it going to affect me in the future? That can really be impaired if you've got some degree of dementia.
And I even hate to say it, but I mean, Eric and I see this all the time because we teach these first-time homebuyer classes. And the thing is, you can have a super bright person, but sometimes they just get overwhelmed when they start having discussions around finance or even lending, and you're discussing all the elements that go around it. I mean, I've seen some of the smartest people I know suddenly get deer in the headlights looks, and they're like of their full competency.
Right.
Right. And I mean, you can just imagine when somebody is in this condition where they're just, you know, and sometimes because, you know, I heard something through a Darren Hardy program that I was doing recently that he mentioned that, like, One of the illnesses we have as a human condition is that yes is just easy, no is hard, and so people will just say yes just to not make waves and to not feel like they're cutting themselves off from somebody, right? And I can imagine if they're in a somewhat incapacitated state, that's probably even more exacerbated.
Right. And if, you know, loneliness is another huge factor. You know, and as we get older, we lose the people around us typically.
Exactly.
And if you're living alone and maybe your spouse is dead, your kids aren't around, it's just you want to please more and you want to be around people more. So you're going to be more accommodating, and that can really affect your judgment as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Scary. So, Paige, if somebody has a suspicion that a friend or a relative is suffering from some type of abuse like this, what are some places they can go to reach out for help?
Well, the first I would say is Adult Protective Services, because they are the agency in Washington that is tasked with investigating all the forms of elder abuse, as well as abuse of people who are 18 and over who are not elderly, who are under 60, but who have either a developmental disability or some other physical disability.
Okay.
And they investigate those allegations, and then they try to see if that person also needs services. And they'll also offer them services or file for a protection order on their behalf or a guardianship even, depending on what their needs are.
Okay.
So they can be a huge help in a lot of these cases.
Okay.
But I also would encourage people not to hesitate to call the police. The police in all of King County are getting better and better at responding to these crimes. And we need them to find out about them as soon as possible, because for every day that someone's being financially right. exploited, that money is going away and it's never going to come back. So I would just urge people not to hesitate to get the police involved early on.
Okay. And are there certain signs that you would recommend they look for? Let's say that you think something's going on, but you're not 100% sure. I mean, what are some tells, I guess?
Yeah, some red flags.
There's got to be signs.
Yeah, some are, an older person who is like pretty much alone in life, or who doesn't have anyone they're very close to, who suddenly has a new best friend. And the new best friend is someone who sort of comes out of nowhere and is taking over the life of the older person by suddenly being with them all the time.
Or maybe moving in with them.
Moving in with them, becoming their attorney in fact, their mm-hmm. power of attorney, suddenly handling their finances, mm-hmm. and then also preventing them from having access to family members or from going to their clubs or going to church or doing the other things they normally do. So that kind of behavior is a really big red flag.
So it's really important. Isolating them.
Yeah, because exactly. that's true in lots of different kinds of abuse situations, that there is a isolation
Absolutely.
Factor involved. So to our listeners, like, if you have normally seen somebody in these different kinds of social situations and suddenly you realize they're not around, great time to check in.
Right.
Really good time to investigate and start knocking on doors. And the holidays are a great time to do that, because you have a great reason to just stop in and say hello. How are you? Mm. But I mean, just any time of year, it doesn't even matter, because the summertime is great, because it'd be like, hey, would you like to go out for a drive? It's a beautiful day. Let's go do something. How
Absolutely.
Are you? Because it really boils down to just kind of caring about your neighbor.
That's right. Reaching out and talking to people. Absolutely.
We miss out on that nowadays a lot of times.
We
get so caught up in our electronic methods of communication that we forget to check in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
We don't want to be the faceless, kind of view of the world.
Exactly. And Eric, you had mentioned before the bank tellers. That's another big red flag, is change spending. So where you see someone who's always been very frugal, doesn't buy themselves anything, or, just very occasionally, where suddenly they've got a new car, or they've got lots of new stuff in their house, or suddenly their bank accounts are being drained. Mm-hmm. Any real changes in spending patterns are usually pretty suspicious too, and should be looked into.
Because unless that person's walking around going, I got my bucket list, I am working it. Like, that's one other thing. Like, if you knew you were doing that.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely a different story. And I hope at some point in my life I do. I don't have any kids, so I probably will do that at some point, but I got to get there first.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay, so we've got APS, Adult Protective Services, of course, local police, always a good source. Mm-hmm. Attorney General?
Yeah, they have a Consumer Protection Division that is also worth calling. And I think the case that you were talking about, Reba, where someone's potentially, it's a business owner or a business person who is maybe misrepresenting things to people on property prices or investments of some kind, I would call the AG's office or report it online.
Yeah, and the Department
Consumer
of
Protection
Licensing,
Division.
Too, is another good option as well, because they watch that. We're, in my industry, we're a self-reporting industry, but if someone calls with a complaint, that probably, one, will get referred directly to the AG's office. But the Department of Licensing is big time keeping their eyes peeled for issues like this.
So for anyone who's licensed,
yes.
reporting to them is important too.
Yes,
great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great.
And Paige, what about your office? Is there a way someone could reach out to your office if they
Sure, they can send me an email and I can refer them to the right agency.
Okay.
And my email address is page.ulrey@kingcounty.gov.
All right.
And we'll have that as the post show information, because this does go out as podcast versions for people to listen to as well. And we'll have all of that on our website available for people.
Yeah, excellent. What's your biggest case?
We have a case right now against an attorney who exploited about 5 different clients who were all vulnerable and took a total of over $1 million from them.
Oh, no.
I had another case, a banker's life agent who exploited a number of very vulnerable clients and took well over $1 million from them as well. So we see a lot of big money cases, and I just can't overemphasize how damaging that exploitation is to those victims. It's really
just devastating.
Awful.
Yeah, because
once that money is spent, even if there's a requirement of restitution, it's probably never going to happen in their lifetime.
Right, exactly.
At that point.
Rarely does that happen. Yeah.
If that happens, does it go on down to the family, or is it just for the individual?
Yes. So if somebody gets restitution or has an ongoing restitution award and that person dies, then the restitution obligation is passed on to their heirs.
So okay, well, that's good to know.
That's very good to know. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Paige Ulrey. It's been just a delight to have you on the show.
Thank you, guys. And it was really fun to be here.
Oh, thanks again. Hope we can have you back again sometime in the future.
Yeah, because we've got lots of other good potential topics.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening for another episode
of
Open House.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba here on AM 1590. The Answer. The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.